Join me in 2 Peter. We continue our walk through the writings of Peter, these pastoral letters. We will start at verse 3, of which we covered last week, but to set the context for moving on, we'll begin at verse 3 and go through verse 11 of chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessings to our understanding and reading of His Word, as given here by the Apostle Peter, but more particularly the Holy Spirit. First, we see what God has done. And I pray that's the place we begin in our faith always, in our conversations typically. We begin with what God has done. Verses 3 and 4 basically tell us that God has done everything necessary for our salvation. He's done everything necessary so that we might know Him and that we might increase in that knowledge of Him. And this particular passage brings out very clearly that He has done everything so that we might participate in that divine nature. And I pray you remember, as we discussed that last week, that we participate something in something of God through Christ Himself. And then Peter adds, for this very reason, because of what God has done, because of His completed work, for this very reason, you are now called upon and encouraged to do certain things. He calls us to do things that will lead us to a spiritually productive and a spiritually effective life. He calls on us to make every effort. Now, in the dictionary, when you look up this word or a synonym for this phrase, you might also find being diligent. Being diligent about your work, being diligent about your activities. But you would also see the phraseology of making haste, meaning don't tarry as you are making every effort. Don't tarry as you are being diligent. Be diligent now. Make every effort now in these things of which Peter calls on us to do. I'm reminded of the proverb as we look at these terminologies, or as we talk about being diligent as opposed to the opposite of that. You may have read in the book of Proverbs the story of the ant and the sluggard. It's a unique little story of which the man of wisdom gives to make a point. It speaks of productivity, and it also speaks of the lack of it. Hear these words from the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. He says, to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It, the ant, has no commander, no overseer, or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Kind of a cute little story, but a wonderful point. Go to the ant, you lazy sluggard. Here, Peter, I believe, is encouraging us in the same way. Make every effort to be diligent. Make every effort to make haste and add to that which God has given. Now, that is a particular word, add. Peter uses it here. Add, it is a word, a Greek word from the stage, from the drama. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the only place it's used in this particular context is this way. The word used to describe the addition of payment that the director of a play would give to what the actors were already being paid by the company of which they worked. So the actors would come to the stage, or they would come to present a certain drama. The actors were paid by their company. But then the director of the play would add payment to what they already had. So I hope you see the use of the word here. As we are Christians, God has already done a work. It's completed. It's finished. It's over. But by adding to it the things of which Peter is about to tell us, we enhance. As I spoke to someone this morning, we can't change our salvation. We can't affect our salvation. It's done. It's finished. But we can enhance its beauty by doing as Peter calls on us to do here. So here we see that we can add. We can contribute greatly to the work of salvation that God has already done. God has done all that's needed. But He's calling on us to add, to enhance our salvation. So, what are we to add? Peter gives us a list here. First of all, add to your faith. So we start from a condition. We start from a place. We start from a belief. Add to your faith that which is there, which was the gift of God. Add to that goodness. Add to that goodness toward others. Add to that knowledge. I find it amazing that we have some denominations that are built on the lack of knowledge. And they actually preach that gaining knowledge is a sin. I find that hard to understand. Because salvation of God begins here. And it moves quickly here. But you've got to know a thing before you can believe a thing. So here, Peter is adding on us. It's calling on us to add knowledge. How many of you were involved in Bible study right now? How many of you attended Sunday school this morning? How many of you got up this morning and read your Bible? How many of you daily and weekly read and it's a hunger to know more? Thank you. Praise. It's what Peter's calling on us. Now, add to knowledge, add to goodness, self-control. Peter, you could have said anything else but that. Add to all of this self-control. Several levels of discipline in the Bible. It begins with self. We're all called to be self-disciplined. Peter is saying, add that to your faith. Self-control. Control your own lusts. Control your own desires. Control yourself in accordance with the Scriptures. Perseverance. Now, there's one a lot of you know about firsthand. Persevere. Times are hard. Things are complicated. Peter is all calling on us to add to our faith the practice of perseverance. Perseverance.
Add to that godliness. Here is speaking of our character. Who are you when no one's looking? Who are you when no one will see your actions? That is your true character. We can perform for other folks and do well, but when you're alone, what is your character? Brotherly kindness. Many of you in this church excel here. Brotherly kindness. It's one of the attributes that I love to speak about of New Sterling. Is the warm, loving atmosphere that you will find when you come through these doors. But it's not done. It's an addition that we continue. And then finally, of course, love. Love that covers a multitude of sin. Love that conquers all things. Love that is patient. Love that is kind. Love that does not hold grudges. Love that forgives. Add that to your faith. Now, Peter makes the point of saying here, this is not a one-time addition. You can't say, okay, I've checked them all off my list, I'm done, I'm set. No, he said, add these things in increasing measure. So what you added yesterday becomes a platform of what you add to today. And today becomes a platform of what you add to tomorrow. If you're not constantly growing daily in your faith, then you are constantly dying in your faith. It's to be an addition in increasing measure. It is to be a process of continuous cultivation and continuous development. Do this, and you will be protected from being unproductive. You will be protected from being ineffective. Now, just to make a point, let's take this in reverse. Let's say that you think right now in your life, things are just tough. It's hard. And you feel like you are unproductive in anything. You feel like you are ineffective in anything you touch. And you feel like that the world is on your shoulders and things are just falling apart. Everything you touch falls apart. Everyone you talk to curses you. Everything you think is good is bad. Every time you talk to your spouse, you get the lashing of the tongue. Every time you say something positive, it comes back in your face. And you're just about ready to hang it up. Well, I made my confession this morning. Of the last 3 months have been very difficult. And I failed to do these things Peter's talking about. So you must ask yourself, if you find yourself in that relentless circle, if you find yourself in that relentless attitude of ineffectiveness and unproductivity and everything you touch is falling apart, then you must seriously ask yourself, are you presently involved in adding to your faith? Are you involved in that hourly, daily, weekly, enhancing and beautifying your faith through the means of grace God has given us? Or had you rather sit there and have your own little pity party and hope someone joins you? I'm not. I hope I'm out of mind. But there's some very practical, pragmatic things we can do. It's not hard. But as Susan and I were talking a while ago, it just starts right here. It's just a desire. You know, you have to want to. You want to know more. You want to drive a little deeper. You want to get a little closer. Devotions, family worship, Bible reading, prayer, persevering through challenges. Every one of these small victories is an addition to your faith. And Peter sort of slaps us in the face here. He says, if you have not done these things, if you are not presently doing these things, if you are not presently increasing and making every effort to add to, then he says, you are considered nearsighted and blind. He says, also you have forgotten that you are cleansed from your sin. So why do you allow sin to dominate you?
Now, please remember who Peter is talking to here. This is a letter written to the church. Pardon me. This is a letter written to the church. In both his letters, he addresses them as the elect. He's not talking to the unbeliever. He's writing this letter to you and to me.
He's talking to those who are believers, but because of the persecutions of their day, they've allowed their faith to weaken. They've allowed the things that complicate their lives to actually win over their lives, and they're walking away, moving away from their faith. We do the same thing. As I said, I confessed this morning of my activity. Last couple of weeks, I haven't been as diligent in my Bible study, in my prayers. It's almost like a depression. But thank God that has passed. And reading God's Word now has a whole new freshness to it. But we have to be careful that we don't let the troubles of life take us away from the church. When troubles come, we should run to the church. Run to the people who love you. And love you because you are God's child, not because of anything you've done. Many of us lead such hectic, busy lives that we are barely able to keep our nose above water, barely able to keep our eyes above and see the next thing coming. And so we'll say, well, I need more time at this, so I'll stop doing this. And stop doing this is the anchor that pulls you farther down in this. Please do not turn away from the Scriptures. Please do not turn away from the church. Please do not turn away from adding to your faith these things that beautify your salvation. The encouragement from Peter is this. Be all the more eager. It's almost like a direct proportion in your life. If the troubles, the conflicts, the difficulties, if these increase, then these additions should increase proportionately to outweigh them, or at least try to balance them out. Be all the more eager. Make every effort. Make haste. Be diligent to make your election sure. Again, see who he's talking to? You, the elect. He said, do these things so that you know for sure that you are the elect. Do these things. Turn away from the issues that complicate your life. Folks, there comes a time in your life, I believe, when you have to make a stark decision. Am I going to stay on this treadmill that's about to kill me, or am I going to step off and let life go? And I know some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. There comes a time in your professional life you have to do it for survival. Be affirmed in the love of God. Live, as we talked about the last 2 weeks, live in the completed work of Jesus Christ. He has done everything. We are simply asked to use that completed work and then add to that the building blocks that beautify our faith and our salvation. Daniel Whittle writes this little sonnet that I thought made the point. How do I know that I am a child of God? When I search my spiritual life, I know that the certainty of salvation does not come to me through dreams or visions or revelations. I have assurance of salvation because God has given me His Word, has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, and has worked and continues to work in my heart through the Holy Spirit. God has created faith in my soul so that I put my complete confidence and trust in Him. I know not how this saving faith to me did impart, nor how believing in His Word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And He is, of course, referring to the day of which Christ comes. Doing all these things in increasing measure will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive. Doing all these things also has a promise associated with it. Peter says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, because if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do these things, and you will never fall. Notice he did not say you would not stumble, but you would not fall. And then there is a reward waiting. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy your master's happiness. It's a promise. Let us pray. Father, I pray for those in this room who are struggling through life itself. I pray for those in this room who are struggling with decisions of career and job and employment and work and life and all the things that take up so much of our time. Give them the courage, if it be your desire, to make the decisions of possibly just stepping off that treadmill and let someone else have it. Father, let us add to our faith these things of goodness, godliness, and brotherly love, perseverance. Let us be renewed and refreshed in the work of the Holy Spirit in each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.